Yo. Yo. Yo, there we go. Ho, yo, bro, ho. Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna start rapping. Y'all don't know about my gangster rap past, so I won't bring that out today. What I will tell you about is a little Father's Day fun. My daughter Gracie, who is now three, she is becoming an entrepreneur in her own right. She is wanting to lead the charge on something that she would like to call Littles Day. She looked at Aaron and I this week and said, you know, you guys get to have, you know, mommy and daddy days. I think we should have a Littles Day for me in London. And so she wants to have Littles Day. So in the years to come, I'm sure she'll be leading the charge on Littles Day, and you'll be seeing some flyers about that. And we'll just encourage her with it. So, you know, whatever. She also wanted to buy me a hammer. Thought that was pretty cool. So they got me a hammer. Yeah. I'm thinking next year I'm going to take her to Sears beforehand and go, honey, you see these tools over here? These are ones that you should tell mommy daddy needs. And we'll see how that goes. Or I'm thinking about maybe trying that on her later today for a Blu-ray player or something. I don't know. We'll see. But it's so good to see you guys. Listen, it's such a special morning, getting to be Dad's Day. It's also kind of a special morning for our church. Many of you know that we have a lot of families here that serve our country, and we have families here that have husbands deployed and daddies deployed right now. And we've got one of our fellows that's actually going to be taken off for training for the next couple of months, and then he will deploy right after that. In other words, this is his last Sunday with us. For a good 15 months, I do believe. Jonathan, if you would, I would like for you just to stand up just where you're at. And I wondered if there might be some folks. And by the way, I would like some guys to come gather around Jonathan and some ladies to gather around Dana. And we're going to pray for them. If some of you guys would just gather around them, lay hands on them, that would be awesome. This is scriptural and I think worthy of doing. This is, you know, going to test their marriage in so many ways. They're a young couple. They're newlyweds and all that. They've been married for a couple of months. So I want our church to come around them. And anytime we ever have a situation like this, if I know about it, we'll pray about it. So let's just pray together right now. God, I lift up Jonathan and Dana to you today. God, and I ask that you, Lord, would protect their marriage. God, I pray, Lord, that you would protect Jonathan as he's going to be overseas. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just provide him all of the godly wisdom that they both need to make it through this time in their lives. God, be with them over these next 15 months. God, just have your hand of mercy and grace and protection on them. We lift them up to you today. God, I pray, Lord, that our church would be there for the both of them and for their family during this time in their lives. God, thank you so much for letting us get to minister with them and to them. We love you, Lord. God, just take care of them. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan and Dana. So this morning we are second installment on Engage, and this is a series that we started last weekend on the book of James. If you have missed out here earlier in the year and haven't been around for it, I just kind of really, we have felt, you know, just God really pushing us to try to help the people of 24 Church fall in love with God and fall in love with the Word of God, because if you're going to be in love with God, then we would obviously want to love in His Word, because that's how He loves into us and shares wisdom with us, which that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But anyway, the whole Engage thing is just the idea that we are engaging God, and how are we engaging God, and how are different things that He wants us to engage in to engage with Him. And this morning, the subject is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. I posed this question for you this morning, and you know, many of us have things going on in life, and maybe things that are coming up, much like this family we just prayed for, in different scenarios and in different ways. And the question remains: is how am I going to figure it out? How am I going to know what to do? Wouldn't you just like to know that you're going to have the answers? If I told you this morning that I can assure you you're going to have the answers to the things you need, wouldn't that just bring a peace to your heart? Wouldn't that just ease your mind to know that you're going to have everything that you need? Well, the truth is that you are, if you seek godly wisdom. So this morning, the question is not, do I want godly wisdom? Because of course you want godly wisdom. I mean, if you're a believer this morning, and if you know Christ as your Savior, you want godly wisdom. That's not even a question in our minds. We're just thinking, well, how do I get it? Well, that's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And in this passage this morning, we see some incredible stuff. I said in the first service, I kind of talked about the movie Back to the Future. Any Back to the Future fans? There's actually three of them. I said the movie. There's three of them. It's a trilogy. Of course it's a trilogy because it's a great thing. And, you know, if you don't know about Back to the Future, well, it's got Michael J. Fox in it, and he plays McFly, and he has a DeLorean. If you don't know what a DeLorean is, it's a car, and it has the gull wings, the doors that open up like that, you know. So, you know, it's cool. And DeLoreans are cool because they're stainless steel. I won't get into the specs on a DeLorean. But anyway, it's a car. It's kind of a cool car, and they make it into a time machine. There's a mad scientist makes it into a time machine, and they're traveling all over through time. And Michael J. Fox is traveling back into time to fix some things that just don't seem to be going right in the future. And then later on in other movies, he has to travel into the future to see what's going on up there, to see where he may have messed some things up long term by going back into time to begin with. So, I mean, it's this whole crazy, you know, round of things. And so, if we could jump in a DeLorean today, not just to take a drive, but to go into the future and see what's going to happen, we would want to do that, wouldn't we? We would love to know. You know, so, you know, if you're single, you'd love to go and just see who you're going to marry. If you're married, you're thinking, well, I'd just like to, you know, go and see how many kids we're going to have, or where we're going to end up living, or, you know, what kind of job am I going to have, or am I going to have enough money left in my retirement to be able to make it, or, you know, whatever. And the truth is we constantly think about these things. And we're constantly saying to ourselves, you know what, I just don't know the answers to questions. Well, let me pose a question to you. Are you spending time with God? Had a young man call me yesterday. I had not talked to him in years. He called me and he said, it's Jive weekend. We're in the middle of, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. And I see my phone ring and I thought, well, who in the world is this? It's some crazy number with, you know, another area code and everything. And I thought, well, I better answer it. You know, somebody probably maybe around here helping out needs something. So I answered it. And he said, hey, this is so-and-so. And man, we haven't talked in years. And I said, oh, hey, how are you doing? And he said, man, I've got a problem. And he said, and the last time I had a problem, I called you and you helped me with it. And he said, and I'm calling again because I got another problem and I don't know what to do. I'm trying to figure it out. And I said, well, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you spending time with God? We have this tendency when a problem arises, we go into the mode of like, you know, our thought of, you know, maybe the instruction manual. What does the instruction manual say? Well, I should call this person and ask them about it, or, you know, I should, you know, do this or do that or try to fix it on my own. And for so many of us, we miss a lot of times that God is just waiting to give us godly wisdom to be able to deal with the situations of life. There's not one single situation in this life that we can't have the godly wisdom to know how to deal with it when it arises. Now, we may not know to that very moment, and it may be from something that we've studied in the past or in a time of prayer when we spent time praying to God and God gave us a peace about something, and all of a sudden something arises and we're left with the decision. We're facing the decision and going, okay, God, what have I got to do here? And just in that split second, we know in our heart, this is what I'm supposed to do. That comes from spending time with God, seeking godly wisdom. Well, I this week apparently misplaced my Bible, so I'm Bibling on the phone today. And by the way, if you have your Bible, go ahead and pull it out, or your phone if you have Bible on it, you know, feel free to hit that up. This morning, James chapter 1, verse 5, and I want us just to read this together. In verse 5, it says this. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, let's just hang on to that verse right there. This very first verse that we have here is bringing something back into from verse 4. Now, we talked verses 1 through 4 last weekend. You can podcast it if you weren't here. But last weekend, if you go back to verse 4, let me read verse 4 to you. And it says, "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, if you were here, then you heard us talking about how that we're supposed to consider it all joy during trials. And then we understand that during trials, if we can consider things all joy, if we can have that kind of an outlook on it, it produces endurance in us. Without the trials, we don't get the endurance. I'm talking about this with some of the guys in the band backstage a minute ago. Without the trials, we don't have endurance. Without endurance, we don't get the wisdom. And so in verse 4, where it's saying, "And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That's the process of the Christian life. That when we die, there will be something that happens called glorification, and we will be made perfect in that moment in ways that we'll try to attain the rest of our life. Truth is we'll never be perfect on this planet. It's not going to happen. But we're going to try. We're going to try our hardest to be the best that we can be, to grow in the Lord, to be more like Him in everything that we do. And so as we're going along, and this whole lacking in nothing, that's a long way away for us right now. But then James turns around in verse 5. This is one verse right after it. And he says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God." What's that? He's playing us. He knows. He already knows that we lack wisdom. We all lack wisdom. From the verse before, he's saying, basically, only through our life of enduring and all of those things and being faithful to the Lord will we be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We're going to lack until we die. And in verse 5, he says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." I mean, this is awesome stuff. You want wisdom? Here's a better question. Do you want to be dumber? I've got all kinds of images of Dumb and Dumber right now, just like rolling through my head. See, that's all I had to give you, and you just laughed. The thing is, of course we want wisdom. Of course we want to know what it means to be more like God. Of course we want God to change us. The tough part is the going through it, the considering it all joy, and those things that we've studied even last weekend. This verse says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously." Did you know that God was generous? Now, some preachers would take this and run with us 10 different ways that are not scriptural. But we have a generous God. He loves us. He loves us. I think that's important. But the incredible thing is, He loves us, but He's just. And He's about a million other things too. And all these attributes are completely true about God. But the amazing thing is that they're all completely true, but none of them go against the other. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach." And without reproach, what is that? I'll just put it simply, without fault, without sin. In other words, God is not going to let us use him like an ATM machine. We don't get to live a life of sin and just sin it up all day long and then just show up at God's doorstep and beep, 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 beep. We don't get to do that. That's not the way it works. We see in the Old Testament, time after time, check Isaiah chapter 1 if you want one, where we see God telling people, "I detest," is the word that he uses, "I detest your offerings, your worship services." He's looking at Christians and he's going, "Hey, you guys are being stupid. You're being idiots. Why? Because they are living a life of sin. They're being hypocrites. They're not being who they say that they are. And then they're going to God and they're going, "Oh God, we love you and you're my Savior and I love you. Thank you for saving my soul." And all week long living it up like hell. And you're just thinking, you know, I do that. We all do that at times. So then how in the world do we get past this? Because we have sin. Every Christian in this room doesn't, you know, you're saved, but you still sin. We have to live continuously and consistently asking God for repentance. It's so important to the journey of being a Christian that we never stop seeking God and saying to God, God, make me more like you. Take me and change me. That stinking chorus, the bridge to the song Hosanna. I told Nathan, I'm going to do a series on that bridge one day. That bridge gets all over me. Make my heart like yours, that I could love like you. I mean, you just think about that. I mean, we're singing that, but I mean, are we meaning that? I mean, is that our heart? Are we like, oh yeah, God, I really, you know, I'm 100% all week long. God, make me like you all week long. Because if we do that, if we follow God in that way and we're crying out to him, God, I want to really be like you. I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's where it starts to happen. And when we're in that kind of a heart and we go to God and we ask him for something in according to his will, if we, and I'm not talking about like, you know, I told the first service, not asking for a Porsche, although he might bless you with one. And I told the first service, if he does, I want to ride or maybe let me drive it. So whatever, just saying. All exotic cars are okay. But, you know, I think, you know, we get in our mind, we want to, you know, we see something like this and we're like, oh, well, God's saying he's generous and if we ask him for it, he's just going to give it to us. No. Number one, we've got to be without reproach. In other words, we have to have a heart of repentance. We need to be constantly seeking God, asking God for forgiveness of the things where we have failed him. And beyond that, there's more. It says, and it will be given to him if we have that heart. Verse 6, check this out. It says, but he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let's keep that up there for a while. What's that about? That's about faith. Well, yeah, we got some faith. I got faith. Somebody asks you, you got faith? Oh, yeah, I got faith. I go to church. I got faith. Really? What's your faith look like? I mean, is your faith real? I mean, like, do you believe that God is going to take care of you if you follow him? I mean, do you believe that? Because our actions don't usually show it. I mean, if you're like me, I'm an idiot, and there's plenty of times in my life where I find myself just, like, taking control of the wheel and just going, oh, well, I got this. I don't need God for a little while, and I'm not thinking that, but that's what I end up doing, and later on I'm like, gosh, I'm being an idiot. You know, faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the sea, by the wind. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, and we think, you know, well, yeah, I got faith. Let me ask you a question. Think about for just a second, when was the last time you prayed? This is going to be the test of your faith right here, by the way. When was the last time you prayed? Was it last weekend when you were here? Have you prayed some during the week this week? Did you pray this morning? Pray last night? By the way, we're called to pray consistently throughout our day in everything that we do. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. Have people look at me sometimes after services and go, hey, my kid was looking around. They saw you looking around during the prayer. We don't have to close our eyes to pray. It's okay, all right? The last time you prayed, did you pray expecting God to answer your prayer? Or did you just pray? Thank you, God, for our food. Amen. Is that the kind of prayers that you pray? Because what he's talking about here, attaining godly wisdom, comes from asking for it and believing with all of our hearts that he will give it to us. It means that when we pray, that we pray knowing that God is going to answer that prayer. It means that we're in the right heart and that we're praying in according to his will. What is God's will? His word. Normally I'd wave my Bible right here. I'll wave my phone for you. His word. His word is his will. Everybody's like, oh, I don't know God's will for my life. How can I figure out God's will for my life? Read his word. Spend time with him in prayer. Let him speak to your heart through his word. You will find God's will for your life. Well, I want to know who I'm going to marry and their name's not in there. Sorry. There's still something called faith here, right? Yeah? Yeah, we still got to have faith. Faith is an important part of this. And for so many of us, what happens is we just get so lackadaisical about stuff that we quit having faith, and our prayers are just kind of like, yeah, you know, well, I'm praying, you know, but there's not really anything happening. I just got to tell you, there is not one instance in my life when I can imagine or think back to where I prayed for God's will to be done and it not be done. This church, the fact that you're sitting inside of a warehouse right now, is proof that God answers those prayers. Now, I'm not a building guy. I could care less. We could have an amphitheater out in the field. I don't care. It didn't make any difference to me. Now, I do like air conditioning. I'll be honest with you, all right? Amen. Amen on air conditioning. You know, but I'm just saying, you know, we get caught up praying empty prayers and paying lip service to God. And then we wonder why he's not listening to our prayers. Or better yet, why he's not answering them. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says this, it says, for that man, which is kind of used as a derogatory term here, James is being a little kind of like a smart aleck a little bit here. He's kind of like, that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Because I know you were thinking in your mind a second ago, oh, you know, is it really true that, you know, your heart's got to be right and that kind of stuff, God really answered your prayer? Hello. For that man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord. I'm not making it up. I'm just teaching it. Verse 8 says this, says, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. Now, right here, let's stop on verse 8. Being a double-minded man, and this could be translated double-souled, S-O-U-L-E-D, double, you know, having two souls, having two, you know, serving two masters, as other scripture might put it. Here's a way to put it for you. If you're married, what about, like, if your spouse came to you one day and said, hey, how about you okay if I pick up another spouse on the side? You all right with that? No, not okay. That passage of scripture is basically trying to help us to understand that we can't be that man, and that man is a person that is sold out to this world and trying to be sold out to God at the same time. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We've got to follow God with all of our heart. And the truth is that we're constantly tripping on the things of this world. We're constantly struggling with those things and dealing with those things, and they're coming at us, and they're going to come at us, and how are we going to deal with them? We're going to deal with them through having godly wisdom, so that when something comes at us, that we've been spending time with God, and we've been asking God, God, give me the wisdom that I need. I'm asking you, God, to give me the wisdom I need to deal with this situation. I've got a situation here that's driving me crazy. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what my family's going to do. I don't know, you know, what school I'm going to go to, what person I'm going to end up with. Look, seek godly wisdom. Verse 9 says, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. Let me just explain that to you for real quick. The brother, by the way, is meaning a believer, a fellow believer, a believer of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. The humble circumstances translated for you, poor financially. financially poor, that it would be somebody that doesn't have anything. Now, does that confuse you? The believer that is poor is to glory in his high position? That's kind of backwards, isn't it? I mean, typically we're thinking, you know, high positions come with having a lot of money, having a lot of stuff, having some kind of stature. What he's saying here, because this does all kind of work backwards when it comes to the kingdom of God, is that you are blessed to be poor and to not have to deal with the things that you have to overcome to be a rich man. God sees that as a high position, and he's saying that that brother of humble circumstances is to give God glory in that situation. Furthermore, it keeps going. It says in verse 10, "And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation." Now, what's going on with that? It's saying, look, if God has blessed you with stuff, if you have a lot of stuff, you have got to constantly be humbling yourself before God, not to make yourself a god, not to make that stuff that you own a god, because we get to where we're worshiping stuff. I fall into it all the stinking time. God is going to be glorified, can be glorified in both poor and in the rich. It's not that he's only glorified in one or the other, but they have different things to face. And if we think about this, if we look at this, folks that are poor financially are really receiving grace from God, and they're to give God glory for that. Now, that's hard to do when you can't pay a bill, and you're thinking, you know, the last thing sometimes we're thinking is, oh, God, thank you for letting us not pay that bill. We're so appreciative of that. That's not usually how we're thinking, is it? Furthermore, the rich, not necessarily receiving grace here, are more or less receiving God's wrath. And they, on that turn, are supposed to be giving God glory through that. In other words, saying that in the midst of that, in the midst of those struggles and dealing with the temptation that comes from all of that stuff, that they could give God glory in that. That people could see God in them despite the stuff, that people wouldn't see the stuff, that people wouldn't see the stature, that they wouldn't see the riches, that they would see God. And that's hard when you've got the stuff. That's really hard when you've got the stuff. It goes on, the rest of verse 10, it says, "Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away." And we see this. We see folks that are so after the stuff that they're going to spend the rest of their life in pursuit. And some of us are in pursuit all the time for more stuff. And what we don't realize is that we're falling right into the trap of this world, and we're not letting God just take a hold of us. And some of us as Christians that come and we sing a song that says, God, make me more like you. God, don't let me be a hypocrite. God, I want you to be my Lord. Truth is that we struggle against that stuff, and sometimes that stuff wins because we're being double-minded, we're being double-souled, and we're trying to sell ourselves over here to this thing and to God at the same time, and it just don't work. You want to be dumber? I hope not. Don't think anybody does. This morning, I gotta just tell you something. God is offering up all the wisdom that you'll ever need to deal with everything of this life. And it doesn't mean that you pray a prayer today and you say, God, I'm coming to you with all my heart, and I'm repenting, I'm sorry for the stuff I've done, and God, you are great, and you're awesome, and you're glorious, and all these things. And then you say, well, God, hey, I'd like to just pray, God, that you would, you said ask. I'm asking for your wisdom, God. Give me your wisdom today for the rest of my life. I just want to have the wisdom for the rest of the thing. It doesn't work like that. We got to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. And the truth is for so many of us, we just need to start asking. We need to start asking in the right heart. We need to bring ourselves back down and humble ourselves before God and just say, God, you're awesome. You're my Lord and Savior. God, I just pray you would save me, that you would change me, that you would be the Lord of my life. Let me tell you the most important thing I can tell you this morning. If God takes me and sweeps me off the stage and kills me, whatever. If there's one thing that I can tell you this morning, this is it. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. I'm sorry if other Christians have screwed that up for you. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it is the single best thing that could ever happen to your life. It doesn't make it a Cinderella story, but it is an amazing thing when God comes into our life. If you don't know Christ today, I would love to talk to you after the service. I know that many of you are probably here because you hung out with us yesterday, and I'm really glad you're here. We're really glad you're here. If you don't know Christ, I would love to get to just talk to you about that, pray with you about that. I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm not even going to try. That's between you and God. But if you're up for seeking out what it means to have a Savior and to not go it alone and to be able to tap into the godly wisdom, the wisdom of our Creator, of the sovereign God, if you'd like to tap in and be able to ask Him for things and according to His will, you got to have a relationship with Him. You got to know Jesus as your Savior. You can't pray and not know Christ as your Savior. I long for you to know that more than anything. God longs for it. Wisdom shows the way. God's wisdom shows us the way. I want you to just bow your heads with me for a second. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come up. I want to let you just pray for a moment right where you're at and just let you have a moment with the Lord. And maybe you need to repent and kind of clean your heart up before you even get any further with anything and tell God how great He is, for starters. But I want you just to take a second, and I want you just to ask yourself as you're praying, am I praying with belief and with real faith, or is there doubt in the back of my mind? Pray with faith. Ask God for things and according to His will. Watch Him begin to do amazing things in your life. Give Him glory in all circumstances. God, we just come to you this morning, and God, I just pray for anyone that's hearing this, God, that you would work in their heart. God, that your word would penetrate through every hard exterior that they may have, God, to just show them that you're real and to show them that you care and that you are generous and that you're faithful. And God, that when we're faithful to you, that you do great things. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would be about your kingdom and not our own. God, I pray, Lord, that our lives would be all for you. God, that we would live our lives for you, that we would give of ourselves to everyone else, that we wouldn't be hypocrites. God, I pray for anyone that's here today that doesn't know you. God, I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't be afraid to just talk about that to somebody out in the hall in just a second. God, I pray, Lord, for us as we've brought our tithes and offerings this morning. God, I just pray, Lord, that we've done that in the right heart and that it would only be with a joyful heart we would give. God, I pray otherwise, God, we wouldn't do it. God, I pray, Lord, that it would be an act of worship on our part, saying thank you. And God, I pray over the offering that we give this morning, God, that you would take it and you would use it to do great things for your kingdom, things like what we've done this weekend. God, that we would be able to minister to people in need. God, use that and take that money, multiply it out to do just unbelievable things for your kingdom. God, may you get all the glory from every bit of it. God, I pray, Lord, that you would get all the glory from everything that we've done here today, and it wouldn't be about our church, it wouldn't be about anybody on a stage or anything else. God, it's all about you. And God, I pray, Lord, that people would see that in us and that they would see that it's real and that that's our heart. God, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and to worship through your word and through your song this morning. God, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.